It's good to be back, yeah? We're in a brand new series, and we're going to pray, and we're going to get right into it. And those of you online, welcome. We're going to pray and get into the Word. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We welcome you. We welcome your presence. We thank you that we get to gather like this. It's been a while, Lord. I thank you that you've kept us safe and healthy. I pray, Lord, with this new series, it will not just be a study of your word. It will not just be some spiritual ritual that we do. It will be something where we make ourselves available to you. Will you do that? And I pray that you use not only me, but the entire preaching team during this series, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to go right into the series. It's called The Good News. Everyone say, good news. Yeah. Do you have that printout? Yeah. We're going to go old school printout and kill some trees, okay? And we're going to print them out. We did this. I know you guys are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're printing stuff. I can't believe it's not a mobile web thing, you know? No, this is an artistic expression right now. We're going old school because we're in a very old place, okay? So know it. Know the vibe that you're in, okay? All right, so here we go. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank God that happened, right? Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why are we doing this series, guys? I believe that too many Christians have grown weary and have lost heart, not because we lack good sermons, not because we lack powerful teachings and amazing books and self-help, you know, teachings and books that are baptized in Christianese. And we're not lacking these things. I believe that we are a weak and have grown weary and have lost strength or lost heart because we have lost the art of fixing our eyes and our gaze on Jesus. What the church needs is not more teachings and more deep things. You know, me, when I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian movement where after meeting Jesus, the primary goal, it felt like, was to be a deep Christian. And by deep, I meant otherworldly. I mean mystical, spiritual, knowing prophetic things and having prophetic unction and being able to decipher signs and wonders and understanding what's happening in the political realm and what's happening in America and how we are to fit in this nation. So we were taught that after meeting Jesus, our primary goal was to go deep into the Spirit. And then there's many of us in this nation that after you met Jesus, your primary goal or the goal that was taught to you by your church growing up was that maybe you grew up not in the churches like mine where we looked for the deep things of the Spirit. Maybe it was deep study. Maybe after you met the Lord, or after you've been introduced to God, or maybe some of you guys just grew up in the church, having been born in a Christian family, you were taught early in life that the Christian life is all about study. Every time we get together, we study. Study the Bible, study the text, study, 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 study. We're known for meetings and meetings and meetings. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to study. Don't get me wrong. There are deep things of God that we need to go in the Spirit. But I can't help but feel that the big detriment of the American church is that we have lost the art of gazing and fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ.
Are you weary? Have you grown weak? I know if you are like me, I want to blame COVID. I want to blame COVID for how much weight I gained. I really do. But when I look in the mirror, I have only one person to blame. It's me. When we look at ourselves, we look at our faith. Many of us, I know we're struggling. I know we're feeling weak. I know we feel disoriented. And like Scripture says here, we have grown faint or weak and have lost heart. What we need in the church is not more of anything else, it's more Jesus Christ. That's it. And I know, I wish that as we're returning, that we have some deep stuff to teach you, okay? We have some awesome revelations to give you, or we have some cool series to start off with. But I want to tell you something. From this point forward, if we do not soak ourselves in the presence and the life and the teaching of our Lord, this church just becomes another holy club in America. So, before I go on, I want to invite you today. I want to invite you to a season, maybe like I think we're doing 11 Sundays, a season of just focusing on Jesus, just becoming aware of the good news. And that's why we're starting this new series, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, who is our guide? Who are the ones we're modeling this after? We're modeling this after the early church. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 says, remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. What did the church do that made him thrive so much in the beginning, in the early church? Why were they so powerful and so anointed? Did they have, you know, great speakers? Did they write great books? What new ideas did they put out into the world? What was it? What it was is they focused on proclaiming Jesus Christ. That's all they focused on. They preached about Jesus. They discipled people towards Jesus, not toward a certain biblical teaching or some great pastor's theology. They discipled people under the rule and reign of our Lord. Their primary question was not, what doctrine do you have? But who rules your life? Who rules your life? So they talked about Jesus. They preached about Jesus. They discipled people unto Jesus. And then they spent their time building a community that was identified with their submission to this King Jesus. Let me say it again. The way the early church stayed passionate, stayed productive, stayed faithful and did not lose heart was that they preached Jesus. They talked about him, right? They discipled people unto Jesus. And then their entire community was all about how would we build a community if it truly believed there was a new king in town? So I'm going to say this to you as Echo Church. When we get together from home groups to fellowships to hangouts, I want us to be talking about Jesus. I want us to be preaching about Jesus. I want our lives, our stories to be all centered around Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in our discipleship, we're not discipling people onto Echo. We're not discipling people onto some kind of theology or just some doctrine. We're saying, are you conscious of Jesus Christ? Does your life bring pleasure to God? And when we get together, just like the early church, we're saying this church is about Jesus and Jesus alone. Can I get an amen? Amen? 1 Corinthians, and so it is with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the center of the gospel. He is the center of the good news. He is the reason we gather. But what is the good news? Let's go into this for a little bit. What is the good news? Growing up in the church, we heard this all the time. Jesus is the good news. The gospel is the good news. What is the good news? What is it really to us? Have you ever thought about this? You don't think about this. I think about this because it's my job. I'm in my room going, what is the good news, really? The real question is, what is news? I know that's a controversial saying lately, right? What is news? And then there's all this fight about what kind of news is news. And what, but let's just go down to the core of what the meaning of this is, the good news. I want to first say, and this is in your notes, what the good news is not. The good news is not a vice. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord, the story of our God, is not just good advice. It can be. In many ways, there's good advice in the Word and in following God. But primarily, it's not a vice. It's not an opinion. It's not a philosophy. It's not even really a religion. I know it sounds weird, isn't it? But good news in and of itself is an event that occurred. Let me say it again. When you watch the news, go watch the news tonight, the anchor, if they're doing their job, they don't come on the news and go, I have an idea I'd like to share with you. I have this philosophy that I've been working on, and I just want to share with you. It's 8 o'clock evening news, and I'd like to talk to you about this idea that I've been brewing on. No, you would say, what kind of news is this? When the newscaster, when the anchor shows up, they are reporting an event that already happened. Why is this important to us? It's important because the good news is not about us becoming better, us becoming morally good. The good news is about an event that happened a long time ago. And in this case, in the Bible, the good news is an event that occurred that is not an idea that's being spread. It's not a philosophy that we're trying to convince you to believe. It's an event that happened, and it changes everything. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like meeting your friend and your friend going, I have some news to tell you, right? Or let me give you a better one. It's like your spouse coming to you and saying, I have news to tell you. Very different than I have an opinion of you. I have an idea that we should do. I have plans. When your spouse says, I have news, I have something to tell you, you go, what happened? And your spouse goes, guess what? And this has happened a lot during COVID. You guys have been very busy during COVID. We're pregnant. By the way, do you know how many calls I've made during COVID? I know phone bills are not a thing right now. But if it was, my phone bill would be really high because everybody's having babies. Okay, what was that? No. So news, did you know that we're pregnant? That's news. It's an event that happened. And then it's not just a reporting of something that happened. It's something that happened that now requires a response from you. So when your spouse says, I have news for you. We're pregnant. You don't sit there and go, I don't like that opinion. I don't like that philosophy. I'm not comfortable with this idea. No, it's a news. It's something that happened, and you're cornered, and you're saying, okay, if this is real, if this truly happened, something's got to change. Something's got to work. Something's got to be shifted. Some decisions have to be made. And this is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such an issue in our culture. It's not just the reporting of news as some irrelevant news, like, oh, something happened in some other country, and many of us Americans are like, oh, too bad for them. It doesn't really affect me. This news doesn't really affect me. No, this gospel is universal. It's cosmic. This news, what happened with Jesus in Israel, has so much ramifications for our world that it corners every one of us to make a decision. What does it mean if this was real? The biblical words translated as gospel refer to a message of good news, but it's not just any good news. The word is used most often to refer to important events regarding rulers and their kingdoms. Gospel is a royal term, reporting good news about the ruler in charge. And while this news has deep personal consequences for the people who hear it, it is no private religious matter. So what is the gospel during this time? What are good news? It's an event that happened, but it's an event that happened because of or around a certain ruler or king. And because of what he or she did as king or queen, it now has consequences everywhere. The nations will have to respond. And this is what it means to know the good news. Jesus Christ was sent by God to conquer, to die for our sins, to rise from dead, and to conquer sin, and to conquer death. And in doing so, he became king again. And his kingdom is now announcing that there's a new king in town, and it's going to affect everyone. Why is this so important for us? Before I move on to why this is so good for us, why is this so important? Because when we gather as a church, we're not gathering just to upkeep the social atmosphere or social connection. When we gather, we are proclaiming to the world, and we are proclaiming to our neighbors and all around. When you say you're going to church today, you're not saying I'm part of a religious affiliation. What you are saying to everybody around you, your family, your friends, and your neighbors, when you come to church or when you do anything for Christ, you are saying there's actually a new ruler in town, and I am part of his kingdom. This king has done something years ago, and it has permanently changed the world, and is continuing to change the world, and I'm part of that kingdom. Does this make sense to you? So it's way more cosmic. It's way more revolutionary than us making sure that we keep attendance at a certain religious institution. Can I get an amen? So why is this such good news then? This is good news. This is not just news. This is good news because it affects those that often don't get good news. Let me say that again. Have you ever wondered why it's called good news and not just spiritual news or the great news? Why is it called the good news? It's good because the majority in the world are suffering and hurting. And usually the news that they hear are not good. Let me say it like this. I think scripture says it better. And Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair." You know why our Lord's gospel is good news? because these very people never have news that are relevant or good for them. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, those in need of vindication and justice, those who mourn, those who are grieving, most likely these folks are the outcast, the marginalized, the hurting, the poor. Come on, somebody. What this king has done permanently now affects this class of people. But I have news for you. In Luke 6, and this is not in your notes, but in Luke 6, Jesus talks about those that are affected by this news in a negative way. And those that are affected by this news in a negative way, he says it like this: "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you." Who gets to have people speak well of them? The established, the rich, the privileged, the entitled, the majority. So, this is supposed to be a good news and a good feel message, okay? But I want you to hear something from me today. We have to make a decision here as Echo when it comes to this receiving of this news and how we proceed forward with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ into our lives. And I'm going to say something that I believe is going to continue to shift our church towards what I believe is what God wants from us, okay? But I say this with the fear of God in me. I think the good news is not good news for us. You know, growing up, I used to relate to Isaiah's passage. And it's the same passage Jesus spoke when he started his ministry, that when because he's here and what he's about to do as king, what he's about to establish, these kinds of people will consider this good news. And these kinds of people are the oppressed, the marginalized, the immigrants, the poor. Come on, somebody. Those pushed out. And I used to think, man, that's me. Lord, that's me. Oh, this is so good. It's such good news for me. But as I reflect and I think about my life, I think about my life now in America, I think about just the kind of privilege I have and the kind of things I enjoy. I honestly think the gospel of Jesus Christ is very bad news for me. And what I mean by that is that it challenges me to identify with maybe these folks that might not be blessed because of Jesus' reign. You see, the more and more I think about it, I think I am the rich. I think I am the one well-fed. I know you guys are like, PB, you're well-fed. You know, you need to stop that. Woe to you who laugh now. Aside from mental issues and like emotional care issues, I think my life is pretty good. And I'm not saying God is angry at that. I'm saying the good news positions me in a place where I have to wonder which side of the news I will be on. I hope you catch this, guys. Let me say it like this, and I've thought about this a lot. And trust me, I'm not going to go long because you have all been trained for COVID sermons, I know. Which really is like a fraction of what I used to preach, guys, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? It really is. It really is. I've been thinking about this. The good news for the poor, these kinds of folks. And I had this question I asked myself. I asked these weird questions. And I asked myself, see, it's easy. It's easy when we say, PB, I have no problem picking the side of the good news. I have no problem letting go of my riches and my seat at the table and my laughter and joy and all this stuff that I am entitled to. I have no problem. I believe I'm a deep and brave Christian. I believe I'm on the right side of Christianity and the good news. I believe the good news is good news for me. And I want to be part of the spreading of the good news for the poor and the hurting. I want to be able to, it's easy for us to say that. But the real test to see if the good news is truly good news for us, are you ready for this? This is going to bother you. This is going to bother me. This is bothering me. Here's the good news. Are you ready? Will I be okay if my sons and my daughters truly receive the good news and they gave everything we've ever worked for away? And my sons and my daughters, you guys know I have an army at my house. And they come to me and they go, Dad, I became successful. You know, like my son Joshy always says to me, I think Joshua thinks that we're very poor because he's always like, Dad, when I get older, I'm going to become like a filthy rich, right? And it's not even just rich. He's like, I think I'm going to buy an island. And so, oh, that's like almost like that's tyranny, bro. So he's like, I'm gonna become filthy rich and I'm gonna take care of you. Isn't that so sweet? He's like, and I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna take care of you. And you know me, you know, I got that Asian blood in me. That's like, good. You better take care of me. But I thought about this the other day. I thought about what if, because I've been praying for my kids and their consciousness with God. Like, are they just Christians because they're my kids, or are they becoming aware of the Savior and King? And I began to realize, oh snap, if they really meet Jesus and they really believe in this good news, they may have to give up everything to be on the side of the good news for the world. I think this is why Jesus was so unpopular with the powerful and the rich. He never wrote a book. He didn't really start a movement. He went around telling everyone to give things away. What the heck, dude? What the heck, right? What do we do? What we need to do is I need to finish this message. Sorry, guys. So it's good news. It's good news to the poor. It's good news to the outcast. It's good news to the marginalized. It's good news to those that need vindication, that are oppressed. And as long as we stay on this side of entitlement and privilege, we will always look at Jesus' message as bad news for us. And this is why it's so hard to be motivated to serve God as Americans, because it goes head on with this culture's gospel, which is you must be comforted. You must live out your dreams, and you must become something, and you must be comforted now, and you must laugh and enjoy now, 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 even at the expense of others. And so we go, that's right. I mean, the fact that we even have, many of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about here, but just for you religious folks, the fact that we even have a thing called The prosperity gospel is what's ridiculous about all this. Right? I know, so uncomfortable. It challenges me. What am I doing with my money? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my space? What am I doing with my influence? What am I doing with all this power and privilege? If I hold on to this and I stay a Christian, this Christianity for me will be absolutely depressing for me. But it's good news to those that rarely ever get good news. Can I get an amen for that? If you've ever been poor, it's good news. If you've ever been ostracized, if you've ever been rejected by a community, if you've ever been pushed away because you're seen as dirty, you're seen as whatever, this is good news for you. This king has done something that changes the trajectory of your life. And why is it good? Another reason. I have two. I could have done 10, but I have two. The reason why this is such good news is that we finally now have a leader. In those days, they called them kings, but for us, I'll say a leader who's competent, who is compassionate, and whose reign and rule is cosmic. You see, this is not good news if this king or this God saved, redeemed, and took over, right? And conquered death. But then we ended up with a God who did all that, but this God happens to be a jerk. Proud, arrogant. Come on, somebody. Entitled. The reason why this is good news is we now have a permanent king or somebody in residence of that role forever that is compassionate, competent, and his rule is cosmic. It will never end. It will never end. I just want to do a really quick imagination exercise. I want you to imagine, I know that you guys might not be in this situation right now, but I think all of us can say we have been under leadership that was not so competent, right? Some of you guys are like, right now. I'm in one right now. Some of you guys can point to your bosses or leaders or your direct supervisor, right? And you can say, oh my gosh, it's so hard to be under this person because this person that I report to lacks so much competence. Can you imagine what kind of news it would be for you if you knew that forever, not just in your life, but entire world is headed in the trajectory where this king is not just the ruler, but he is very competent. And then this king is not just competent, but he's compassionate. And this king is not just compassionate, his competence and compassion will never end. What kind of life would you live if you really believed this kind of king actually lives today? You will be less worried. You will be less anxious. You will be less fearful. You would actually spend more time with those that consider this good news. And the band, you guys can come up. We're going to sing together. I want to sing together today and end with communion because I really want every Sunday during this series for us to remember the body and the blood of our Lord. Okay? But I end with this verse, John 13, and I think it's in your notes. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Look, he knew this event was going to happen. The crucifixion was going to happen. And he knew that he's going to be King of Kings, right? So what does he do, okay? That he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that wrapped around him. What? Why is this such good news? This man, this God man, knew he was about to get crucified. He was going to conquer death, conquer sin, and rule. God was going to put everything under his power and reign. He knew that, and he could have just done that. But what does he do before all of this happens? He says, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what it's going to be like under me. I'm going to show you what it's going to be like under my rule. And this is unheard of in this culture, that a rabbi, that the leader would actually do this. And it's kind of unheard of even now, isn't it? Right? In our workplaces, to, you know, organizations and families that we've grown up in. We don't see this kind of behavior that often. But this guy who's about to become king, this guy who's about to cause an event that becomes news and good news, especially to those that have no good news, this guy who's about to reign for all eternity, my goodness, what does he do? He gets on his knees, he gets his clothes, and he begins to wash his students' feet. And then he tells these guys who are anticipating rulership with him. I hope you catch this. They're anticipating something's going to go down. And when it goes down and everything's taken care of and this Messiah takes his seat in the place of authority, I'm going to rule with him. I'm going to rule with him. And it's going to be so great when I finally have power and privilege again. So they're like, yeah. And then they see just this Jesus getting on his knees. And everyone's like, what are you doing? You're about to become king. This is about to become good news for us. He gets on his knees and he washes their feet. And then he says, you got to do likewise. You, the first ones in my kingdom, the first ones that are going to tell this good news. I want you to have this moment permanently seared into your brain that when I take over, come on somebody, it's not going to be like before. It's not going to be like before. You see, when I take over your life, when I take over this world, when I take over nations, units, I don't know, churches, communities, it's not going to be like before. Do you know how we know Jesus is in our midst? Do you know how we know that our church has accepted the good news as our own? The least of these get served. The least of us have their feet washed. This is why it's so good news. It's not just what he did cosmically. Oh my gosh, he washed the sins of the world away. Oh my gosh, he's reuniting the universe back to the living God who created everything. Oh, there's all these really great cosmic things that are happening. No, it's not just that. It includes that. But the reason why it's such good news is this King of Kings, who we all know is the ruler and the creator of the universe, gets on his knees and washes the feet of his disciples. And every one of you have been washed by the King. And this is why it's such good news. There is a God who would kneel in front of me and wash my feet. What kind of news or event or story or reality is this? This is the gospel. This is the good news that God is inviting us to focus on our Lord, the good news. And then not just what he did, but what he established. Let's all stand. Our Lord Jesus, you're alive, you came, you conquered, you died on that cross. So much happened in this news. I pray, Father, right now, that you make this news so real to us. Let us seek deep within our lives and our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you did not stay comfortable, that you did not stay entitled or in position of power, but you left everything and became like a slave, like a servant, became one of us. God, I pray that the good news will lead us to do the same. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your life. Amen. Amen, church. Happy Sunday.